Hi, I'm Marianne Jacoby. Welcome back to our series of podcasts for managers. Our topic today is managing workload, and our guest is Diane Burris, a senior consultant at WFD Consulting. WFD released survey results this year on workload and stress, and they found that both have increased dramatically in the past year. Diane is with us on the line, and she's here to talk about the pressures and impacts of increasing workload. She'll also share some strategies for managing workload and building resilience. Diane, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Marianne, for inviting me to participate.
Diane, could you begin by talking about WFD's survey, Workload in America? Could you share some of your recent findings with us?
Sure. You know, the fact is that increasing workload is an issue that we can all relate to, and it's facing all of us as individuals, managers, and organizations. And it's getting worse in this challenging economic environment. With the stress of having to do more with less, the increased pressure to perform, and the overriding fear of losing our job, it's sort of a pressure cooker environment out there. So last March, WFD Consulting conducted a workload issues survey among a wide range of organizations to learn more about the state of workload, its impacts, and what organizations are doing about it. Not surprisingly, we found that increased workloads and stress are indeed taking a toll. For example, 8 out of 10 respondents report that managers and employees' workloads and stress have increased in the last 12 months, and 80% of respondents say employee morale has decreased in the same time period. And half of the respondents report that employee motivation, energy, and endurance are slipping. And that's a real lose-lose situation.
What are the most common factors driving workload?
We have found that employees consistently report spending at least 20% of their time, that's like one day per week, on low-value work, the kind of work that is redundant, that feels like a waste of time and not a priority to the business, and things that have a negative impact, really, on an employee's effectiveness. So when you think about the stress caused by heavy workload and the time spent on frustrating, non-value-added work, it's really often the tipping point for people and truly saps any energy they have left and often erodes their quality of work and personal life. When we sort of asked for employees to identify what were the key drivers to workload and low-value work, the lack of adequate staffing to meet work demands is the biggest factor. Tied for second are conflicting priorities about what is really important, and poor communication, coordination, and cooperation among different functions. Some other common drivers of workload and low-value work are information overload. I think, again, we can all relate to that. Too much email and internal communication that makes it really hard to filter out what's really important and to prioritize and deal with the key information that is critical. Ineffective business processes and systems also drives low-value work and causes increased workload. Client and customer demands, particularly those last-minute urgent requests and commitments, the things that cause a fire drill and take us away from some of the other things that are also important. And finally, something that comes up a lot is too many unproductive meetings. So many of these things, actually, are things that managers and teams have some control over.
What actions can managers take to address some of these workload issues and help alleviate some of the pressure and stress that employees are feeling?
We have found several strategies that can actually make a big difference. First of all, providing employees with some flexibility, some flexible work options in which they have some control over where, when, and how their work is done, is very important to helping employees manage their workload and reduce stress. So from a manager's perspective, finding opportunities to respond to employee requests or offer opportunities for informal day-to-day flexibility as needed to allow employees to meet job requirements and personal needs is very important. So it may mean adjusting their schedule for a day or two to meet a personal commitment, but ensure the manager that the job requirements will be met. So it requires a dialogue and a conversation. If employees feel like they have some kind of slack in their schedule that they can really integrate their work and personal responsibilities, it can really greatly relieve stress and enable them to manage the heavy workloads they're facing. And if an organization has formal, ongoing, flexible schedules or flexible options, providing employees access to these flexible work options is important. Obviously, all flexible work arrangements don't work in every situation. And, of course, business needs always have to be met. But clearly, providing opportunities for employees to work flexibly and more effectively and also meet their personal needs and requirements can go a long way in addressing workload and stress. The second thing that we found is very important, and I think a technique that managers can do that can really make a huge difference, is engage employees in discussions at the team or work group level to determine team operating principles and address workload and low-value work. Managers should really be, I think, encouraged to have structured dialogues and discussions and planning sessions with their teams to really address these issues. When they get together and actually discuss and identify what work-life effectiveness means to team members, often they've never had conversations around this topic, and together identify the characteristics of the desired work environment and some team operating principles and agreements that can improve quality of work and life can be very important in really enhancing morale and building teamwork and collaboration. Teams also can really look at and discuss and identify the key causes of workload and low-value work within the team, particularly the things that the team has some control over, and then develop some actions that can hopefully overcome these issues and make a difference. Some examples that have come from real teams, I think the first one that teams often tackle are providing some and developing some email protocol and guidelines among the team for reducing meetings and enhancing meeting effectiveness and also really improving the way the time spent on managing all the email that we all get. Also, some teams have found that it's important to develop a plan for handling unexpected last-minute requests and emergencies. Establishing team work priorities and focusing in on a critical few priorities is also very important and saves a lot of time, with team members being able to focus rather than spend time on the things that aren't as important. And finally, teams that can really build in and agree on considering personal priorities and responsibilities in team and project planning can also be very effective. And then the final, I guess the third strategy and tip I would put out there as being important for managers to do is to make sure their employees know about and have access to things like employee assistance programs and other resources that can help them manage stress, build resilience, and enhance work-life effectiveness. Those things are more important now than ever. And managers can encourage employees to utilize the resources, things like fitness centers if they're available, work-life supports, resources, programs, encouraging employees to use vacation time and sponsoring stress management and resilience workshops for their team if that's appropriate.
These are great suggestions for managing employees. Do you have any specific suggestions for managers, things they can do to build their own resilience and manage workload pressures?
Managers also need to find ways to support themselves and to take care of themselves. So it's a matter of really managers also feeling empowered to take advantage of the resources that are available within the organization and to find ways to build in times for rest and rejuvenation.
Diane, I want to thank you for all the helpful information you've shared with us today, and thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
To read the full results of the survey, go to www.wfd.com. And remember, to receive helpful information all year long, subscribe to our monthly manager newsletter. If you're not already receiving newsletters, go to the homepage on our website, scroll down to where it says email newsletters, then click to sign up for My Life Works. Then select the topic you'd like to receive, such as managing people. Also, be sure to stay tuned for our podcast next month, when we'll be talking about feedback and formal appraisals. Thanks for listening.